when does the clock start ticking? The clock starts ticking the day the department started.
So if you started your department in 2001, you're essentially 7 years.
Then you haven't
got,
yeah. Yeah, you're not compliant. So what does that mean in terms of tangible documents, right? What does that mean? What should be happening is, since they're not compliant, is they should be writing in every report, everything that gets up to the board level or the C-level, saying, this document does not abide by the IIA standards because we have not gone through a QAR. And they should state the standard, you know, number, blah, 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 et cetera. And what that does, it doesn't remove them from liability. It just puts out their full disclosure, like, hey, by the way, we haven't done it. It's a big red flag for the readers of those reports to say, wait, I got this report. What do you mean? You're not abiding by the standards, or this report isn't? Because it's not. The report's been issued not based on doing all of what the standards are out there. You follow what I'm getting at? So that's the guidance that the IIA has put out there, that you're going to be issuing deliverables to your boss, and your boss is the audit committee. Your boss is the CFO. So those documents you give them should put big bold letters in the front page, this report does not abide by the IIA standards, and state why. Because we have not gone through our 5-year QAR process, et cetera, blah, 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 blah. So it puts people on notice, and it helps the chief audit executive press the point. And it, you know, at that point, once you disclose it, it's really up to the CFO and the audit committee to say, well, okay, out of all the priorities on their plate, okay, where does this one lie? Okay, are they really comfortable with that? Are they really truly okay with the fact that that report, that all the reports that are getting issued are being disclosed this way? There's a little marker there now on the front page of the report.
What would you say is the second mistake leading to compliance penalties and fees? Would it be, in fact, submitting reports without that notation?
That would be another one. There's a whole, just to give you color to audit report writing. So there's a business writing style that most people would agree. You know, you have an intro, a body, and a conclusion. Now, in audit report writing, it's a lot drier than that, and it's very factually based type writing as well. So you get your introduction, it says, you know, we were hired or we were engaged by da-da-da to do XYZ following blah-blah-blah guidance, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, one of those factors, going back to your point, is the audit reporting classes that are offered in some of the way bigger conferences that the IIA puts on sells out immediately. That's the first class that's pre-conference. It's usually before the main conference begins. That audit report writing class is just sold out. And it tells you the need out there in the marketplace that we don't know what the report should sound like or look like, or because that's our final product, right? It's an audit report, an internal audit report. I mean, that's the value of what we're selling to the C-level and audit committee members. And so the IIA has done a really good job of trying to market and tell people in these classes, saying, hey, by the way, we're not expecting people to be perfect or departments to be perfect, but, you know, by the way, if you're really not abiding by certain standards, you need to tell the reader that and let them make up their minds how important that is.
Gotcha. Let's talk about the next one. What's another mistake that could lead to compliance penalties and fees, especially?
So, you know, SOX has a lot of different sections to that federal law. And one concern is reliance that the internal audit shop just does a great job and there's no issues, no items to be addressed. So CFOs lack the depth of knowledge of how an internal audit shop should be run. So one of those big picture items is, since the CFO isn't going to be the subject matter or shouldn't be really the subject matter expert on internal auditing and standards, et cetera, you know, they're relying on a department getting them compliant. But if that entire department would get a letter grade of F, right, you're exposing yourself to other potential liabilities because it's part and parcel of the entire operations of the company. They're considered what's called a corporate auditor, right? So they work within the company. So there are penalties that the SEC has that if you have a material weakness and you just didn't disclose it, well, one thing is you have to restate your numbers. You have to restate your 10K and your 10Qs. So you could, in fact, go back to old documents that you submitted to the Securities and Exchange Commission and redo something. Usually it's a disclosure. Sometimes it's numbers. You're redoing some numbers and disclosures. And it tells the marketplace, other investors, like, what's going on? Why are these guys having to go back to old file documents and having to update stuff for a control deficiency? You know, it's kind of like the blind leading the blind, because the CFO thought the internal audit group was, you know, thumbs up, they're doing a great job. Well, they've never gone through a QAR. How do you know? If you go through a QAR, then you kind of know, oh, my gosh, you know, this department does well, or I've been putting 100% reliance that they're doing such a great job in compliance. So some of the unexpected consequences is that when things blow up in a bad way, there's a control deficiency, then everybody's saying, well, how come internal audit didn't do it? And it's like, well, I thought they were just doing a great job. Well, how did you think that? You never had any validation whatsoever that that department, and you don't have the subject matter expertise to even know if that department's running well. But you put all your eggs in one basket, making an assumption that the day-to-day operations of that department runs well, and you've been filing a bunch of stuff with the Securities Exchange Commission. Now there's something bad happening that happened at one of your divisions, whatever it may be, and you put all your eggs in one basket, assuming that that internal audit group is doing such a great job.